Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. In our gospel lesson for today, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to tell you yet again that he is indeed coming again. But this time, he adds for you an injunction. Be prepared. In this way, Jesus is playing a role very similar to a dad on a school day morning. He is coming in, flicking the light switch on and off and on and off, and perhaps banging a wooden spoon around in a pot or a pan, saying, "Get up, get up, get up, get up," and he won't stop until your feet are firmly planted on the floor with your body above them. Or as preparations are being made for a camping trip, tent pegs, check, tarp, check, etc., etc. Christ will return, and so he gives you this injunction, be prepared. And this reveals several things. It reveals, first, that the Christian religion, as it were, is not something that is simply, quote, here if you need it, if you are into that sort of thing, or if you need an emotional boost. The Christian religion isn't something to be pursued if you just happen to have a bit of free time on a Sunday morning. It is a deadly serious business we are dealing with here. It isn't a hobby to be picked up by those who just happen to have a spiritually inclined personality. This is the ultimate and most important concern of human life. It is not here to be hip, cool, or relevant. It is already the most relevant thing in all of God's creation. It deals with the most pertinent thing to human existence. It is not worried about being culturally left behind. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Church of Christ will continue on from age to age. It is not afraid of being called crazy. The foolishness of God is wiser than the world, and the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Christ will return, and he calls you to be prepared. Now, we can fall into a few errors here. Because, of course, the call to be prepared can be in and of itself an intimidating one, right? What does it mean to be prepared? And on top of that, since we know neither the day nor the hour, that means we need to be prepared at all times. And as I've heard from numerous folks with military backgrounds, constant vigilance is about the most difficult thing in the world to maintain. So how does one get prepared and stay prepared at all times? How does one get that oil and make sure that you are stocked up on it? And so, as I said, we can fall into some significant errors here. The first one is to automatically think to ourselves, "I'm fine as I am." This, in fact, is the primary error of the foolish virgins, and the one which the parable is most clearly addressing. I'm fine as I am. And this first error can come in a number of forms. For example, it may come in the form of, "I'm a good person, so I'll be all right," right? "I don't need to go to church. I'm a good person as it is." It doesn't take more than a half a second with the Ten Commandments to see that that is not the case. You don't even need to go that far. Just look at the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All, and as yourself. As yourself, mind you, not as much as yourself. Then you can sort of hide behind the difficulty of trying to quantify such a thing. But just as. You can even say, as if they are yourself. No hiding then. Another version of the same error, of the same thought, "I'm fine as I am," is a slightly more churchy version. It is to say to yourself, "I was baptized, I was confirmed, that's enough. I should be good. I don't need to keep going. Such thinking skips over everything you were taught in those confirmation courses, of course. It is the logical equivalent of saying, my parents fed me several good meals when I was younger, therefore I never need to eat again. Your Lord tells you to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to keep it set apart for his purpose. We teach in keeping with the scriptures that this means that we are to fear and love God so that we do not neglect his word nor the preaching of it, but gladly hear and learn it. You, instead, would be saying to God, nah, it's not that important that I hear what you have to say. Sometimes people falling into this error will tack on the faithful history of their family, ironically, in order to somehow justify their failing to follow in their faithful footsteps. That was a bit of a tongue twister, but I got through it there. My grandpa and dad have attended church for years. Surely that has got to count for something, they say. But as we see here in this parable, you cannot borrow the oil of others. So that's the first error, the error of thinking, I'm fine. The second error sometimes follows on the heels of the first error, though not always. It often arises of its own accord. Rather than saying, I'm fine, this error says, I will make myself fine. Specifically, by filling up my church attendance chart with little gold stickers, right? I'll be there every time the doors are open, and sometimes I will even open them myself. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you the solution is somewhere in the middle of these two errors. It's not. Nor am I knocking the gold star attendance chart. Not at all. It serves a good purpose. But the sticker chart is not itself the oil. The oil is not the sticker chart, but rather it is what you receive when you are filling that chart up. Whether you are successful in filling it up, or perhaps a bit more spotty. Just as it is not going to the doctor that makes you healthy, but what you receive at the doctor's that does, or as sitting at the table does not make you full, but the meal that is placed before you, it is not the full sticker chart that is the oil, but it is what is placed into your ears each and every time you are filling up one of those little boxes. Namely, that it is Jesus Christ who has himself already prepared you, that he has, continues, and will continue to forgive you of each and every one of your sins, having paid for all of them. While you have not loved him with all your heart, he has loved you with all of his and has redeemed you from all guilt and condemnation. He clothes you in his own righteousness, draping it around your shoulders as if it had always been your own. You need not go buy any oil. He gives it to you here for free. This oil is the fuel of the light of faith. And with such faith, we await his return. This is the breastplate of faith and love, which St. Paul speaks of in our epistle lesson. It is the promise that God has not destined you for wrath, has not destined you to be shut out, but has destined you for salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This stuff is the oil. So there, now you have a bit more of it. Keep coming to keep stocked up. And if you would, maybe prompt one or two of those foolish ones, you know how forgetful they are. And as you await his arrival, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.